Hello again, everyone. Welcome to Scripture Verse by Verse. We are in Psalm number 15 today, beginning our study in verse 1, and we will go through Psalm 18, verse 22. And Father, we ask that you would add your blessing to the word that we're about to study. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalm 15, verse 1. O Lord, who shall sojourn in thy tent? Who shall dwell on thy holy hill? In other words, what type of person can enjoy God's fellowship? What type of person are they? The question is asked in verse 1, and it is answered in the remaining verses of this psalm. Verse 2, he who walks blamelessly and does what is right and speaks truth from his heart. Answer, the one who walks with the Lord. And someone who walks with the Lord will have their life leaning in the direction of holiness. They are also sincere. They're not sneaky. They're not deceptive. They are honest people. Those are the kinds of folks that can enjoy fellowship with God. But it goes on in verse 3, who does not slander with his tongue, and does no evil to his friend, nor takes up a reproach against his neighbor. In other words, you cannot slander other people or hurt people on purpose and at the same time enjoy fellowship with God. Verse 4, in whose eyes a reprobate is despised, but who honors those who fear the Lord. Stop there for a second. A reprobate is despised by someone who has fellowship with God. Dirty jokes are not funny to people who are right with God. They don't like them. Stars or singers who make their millions through unrighteousness do not receive the applause of people who are right with God. If you can applaud trash, you're not right with God. You definitely are not in fellowship with God. And you might not even be saved. In the last part of verse 4, who swears to his own hurt and does not change. You can count on someone who's walking with the Lord. That's because they keep their word, even when it's not easy. 5. Who does not put out his money at interest. A person who's right with God will help those who need help, not take advantage of them. And then the last part of verse 5, does not take a bribe against the innocent. He who does these things shall never be moved. He doesn't take a bribe against the innocent. In other words, a person who is right with God stands for what is right, even though he could gain something from doing wrong. He will not side with those who do wrong simply because he can get something out of it. Psalm 16, verse 1. Preserve me, O God, for in thee I take refuge. In other words, keep me safe, God, because I'm counting on you and nothing else. I'm counting on you and no one else. And that's the way it should be with all of us. Verse 2, I say to the Lord, thou art my Lord. I have no good apart from thee. None of us would enjoy one single good thing, one single moment of happiness, if it wasn't for God who gives it to us as a gift. 3. As for the saints in the land, they are the noble, in whom is all my delight. On fire, sold out Christians who love the Word of God make the very best friends, if you are a Christian yourself. People who love God want to be around others who love God. And people who love the Word of God want to be around others who love the Word of God. 4. Those who choose another god multiply their sorrows. Their libations of blood I will not pour out, or take their names upon my lips. In other words, David says, I won't be around that ungodly garbage. I won't. And I'm not going to talk about it either. He says, you will not hear me speak the name of some other god. And we've seen this, I believe, a few times already. Talking leads to thinking, which leads to temptation. So some things should not even be talked about. There's no good reason to do it. 5. The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. Thou holdest my lot. God was David's inheritance. In other words, David could be the poorest man on earth and still feel like a rich man, because his relationship with God was so satisfying. Verse 6. The lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. Many people know God as the rewarder. Very few know him as David did. David didn't just know him as the rewarder. He knew God as the actual reward. Verse 7. I bless the Lord who gives me counsel. In the night also my heart instructs me. The Lord gives me counsel, and David blessed him for it. Even the most well-meaning human counselor cannot possibly give you the precise advice that you need sometimes, but God can, always. God knows you better than you know you. And so, when you need counsel, pray, praise, meditate on the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit will take His Word and He will apply it to your life exactly the way you need it to be applied. No human counselor can possibly do something like that. 8. I keep the Lord always before me. Because He is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. David knew that he and the Lord had a great thing together. And he wouldn't let anyone take that from him either. He says, the Lord's at my right side. I will not be moved. Nobody's taken this away from me. Verse 9 gives us an insight as to why. Look what he says. Therefore my heart is glad, and my soul rejoices. My body also dwells secure. My heart is glad, my soul rejoices. David was a happy man when he was close to God. No wonder he said, I will not be moved. 10. For thou dost not give me up to Sheol, or let thy godly ones see the pit. David knows that he will die like the rest of us, but he knows that those, including himself, who have faith in Christ will not stay dead. 11. Thou dost show me the path of life. In thy presence there is fullness of joy. In thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. The path of life that David refers to here, the path of life refers to the right way to live. And I don't know if you noticed here in verse 11, but take a look how everything is connected. You draw close to God, and He shows you the path of life. In other words, you draw close to God, He shows you what to do. You do it, and you experience joy. And then you want to draw even closer to Him. And it all just continues to accelerate together. Psalm 17, verse 1. Hear a just cause, O Lord. Attend to my cry. Give ear to my prayer from lips free of deceit. It is important to be honest with God when we pray. Reverence and honesty are both very important. 2. From thee let my vindication come. Let thy eyes see the right. David had been falsely accused, so he is asking God to show everyone that he's innocent. 3. If thou triest my heart, and some translations say, you try my heart, and you visited me by night, and you tested me, and you found no wickedness in me, my mouth does not transgress. David evidently got a spiritual checkup from God one evening, and he said that he passed. That's saying an awful lot, especially if it happens at night, because if you can pass a nighttime conscience examination by God, you're probably okay with God. You probably don't have any unconfessed sins in your life. During the day, when our minds are occupied with work or whatever else it is that we are doing, it's easier to overlook Holy Spirit conviction than it is at night when all is quiet. It's always good to examine your conscience at the end of the day and confess any sins that you recognize. Verse 4, with regard to the works of men, by the word of thy lips I have avoided the ways of the violent. The word of God will suppress our sin nature. If we think about it or speak it during times of temptation, it's like David said here. He says, by the word of thy lips I have avoided the way of the violent. It is the word of God that is powerful. Verse 5. My steps have held fast to thy paths. My feet have not slipped. David is talking about staying on track. And he is asking God to keep him on track so that he doesn't mess up. Best way to start each day is to ask God to help you not to mess up. And I think it's best to ask him before you get out of bed. Verse 6, I call upon thee, for thou wilt answer me, O God. Incline thy ear to me, hear my words. I like this. I call upon thee, for thou wilt answer me. David prayed because he believed God was real and that he actually takes the time to listen to prayer. And what a tremendous thought that is. It's a lot easier to pray when you know for sure that Almighty God is actually listening. 7. Wondrously show thy steadfast love, O Savior of those who seek refuge from their adversaries at thy right hand. Keep me as the apple of the eye. Hide me in the shadow of thy wings. We'll do anything to protect our eyes, won't we? I mean, is there anything you won't do to protect your eye? In fact, our reflexes go to work protecting our eyes without us even thinking about it. And David is praying for God to protect him, like he would protect his eyes. 9. From the wicked who despoil me, my deadly enemies who surround me. David knew that there were those who didn't like him and were out to get him, and for no good reason. And that's why they are wicked. There are bad people in this world who hurt simply because they like to hurt. They have no good reason to do it. 10. They close their hearts to pity. With their mouths they speak arrogantly. Given the choice, I'd much rather fall into the hands of an angry God than an angry human. Because God does not close his heart to pity, but people often do. God is more likely to be merciful. He does not have a unforgiving heart. 11. They track me down, now they surround me. They set their eyes to cast me to the ground. They are like a lion eager to tear, as a young lion lurking in ambush. Arise, O Lord, confront them, overthrow them. Deliver my life, from the wicked by thy word, by thy sword, from men by the hand, O Lord, from men by thy hand, O Lord, from men whose portion in life is of the world. May their belly be filled with what thou hast stored up for them. May their children have more than enough. May they leave something over to their babes. David is talking about people whose portion in life is of this world. Sinful people have their portion in this life. I mean, this life is it. They live for the things of this life, and God often lets them have those things too. The thing is, all they will ever have are the things that they have in this life. 15. As for me, I shall behold thy face in righteousness. When I awake, I shall be satisfied with beholding thy form. David had many material possessions, but he was smart enough to realize that they couldn't satisfy. David's walk with God is what satisfied him, and he also knew that complete satisfaction would only come in eternity. That's because we cannot completely enjoy God until we are out of these bodies that sometimes get sick and sometimes get tired and sometimes feel pain and still like to sin too. So we're going to be much better off when we are in our permanent bodies. No doubt about that. Psalm 18. I love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. But look at verse 1. I love thee, O Lord, my strength, says David. Some people are very easy to love because they are so good. God ought to be loved by everyone because He's the best. And then he says in verse 2, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock, in whom I take refuge, my shield and horn of my salvation, my stronghold. Look at the words that David uses here to describe God. Fortress, deliverer, rock, refuge, shield, salvation, stronghold. Think he's trying to tell you something? What he's saying is God is my security. God's my security, not anyone else, nothing else. God is. The place to go when in trouble is God, always in God. That's the place to go. When trouble hits us, when temptation hits us, when challenges hit us, prayer should be automatic. 3. I call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised, and I am saved from my enemies. God was his refuge, but notice he called upon the Lord anyway. Because if God is your fortress, then the way you get inside that fortress is through prayer. 4. The cords of death encompassed me. The torrents of perdition assailed me. Ungodly people were coming at David like a flood. The attack was on. Trouble was coming at David like a flood. Verse 5. The cords of Sheol entangled me. The snares of death confronted me. David was trapped and he was helpless. Sometimes God lets people get into situations like that because it is in those situations that they seek Him harder than ever. And it's the way that some people, the only way that they will ever turn to God. Verse 6, in my distress I called upon the Lord. To my God I cried for help. From His temple He heard my voice, and my cry to Him reached His ears. You call out to God and mean business as a Christian, and your prayer will bring you right into the very presence of God. 7. Then the earth reeled and rocked. The foundations also of the mountains trembled and quaked because he was angry. David is in trouble, and he prays. And God is furious at those who would dare to hurt one of His children. And the next several verses is really a poetic discourse of God's reaction to David's prayer. And it begins in verse 7. Let's read that again and then go into verse 8. David prays, and then notice verse 7. The earth reeled and rocked. The foundation also of the mountains trembled and quaked because he was angry. Smoke went up from his nostrils and devouring fire from his mouth, glowing coals and flame forth from him. God's mouth spits fire, he's so angry and intense. All in response to David's prayer. 9. He bowed the heavens and came down. Thick darkness was under his feet. He rode on a cherub and flew. He came swiftly upon the wings of the wind. God is pictured coming to David's rescue, zipping through the cosmos on the back of an angel. 11. He made darkness his covering around him, his canopy thick clouds, dark with water. In other words, God cannot be seen. God is invisible, but it really doesn't matter. He's still there with you, even during dark times, even during the cloudy days. 12. Out of the brightness before him, there broke through his clouds hailstones and coals of fire. And in verse 12, David is describing the artillery of heaven, God's weapons. You know, God took off. Boy, he attacked after David prayed for his help. 13. The Lord also thundered in the heavens, and the Most High uttered his voice, hailstones and coals of fire. God's voice is often connected to thunder in the scriptures. And I'll say more on that maybe next time. But look at this. Here comes the Lord with weapons blazing and his voice thundering. And all of this divine drama is for the sake of his one child, David, who prayed to him. And since God has no favorites, you can be sure that you are his through Jesus Christ. If you are his through Jesus Christ, he will respond to your prayers in the same way. He'll give you what you need with the same level of intensity that he responded to David in his prayer. 14, and he sent out his arrows and scattered them. He flashed forth lightnings and routed them. Then the channels of the sea were seen, and the foundations of the world were laid bare at thy rebuke, O Lord. These last several verses are David's Holy Spirit-inspired, very colorful way of saying, God got me out of a messy situation when I prayed to him. And what I like about these verses is it's as if God dropped everything else that he was doing to go help David after David prayed, to go help David when he was in trouble. And of course, God doesn't have to drop everything else he's doing in order to give you the help that you need. God can do 100 billion things at one time and never even notice it. It's no sweat to him at all. But the point is, you're going to receive this kind of special attention from God when you pray and you mean business. 16. He reached from on high. He took me. He drew me out of many waters. In other words, God reached down from the sky and he saved me. 17. He delivered me from my strong enemy and from those who hated me. For they were too mighty for me. Now, I don't know who their strong enemy was. It could have been Goliath. Goliath certainly was tougher than David. Or it may have been King Saul, who had the entire Israelite army behind him as he hunted David like an animal for 10 years. Or it could have been the devil, who's always looking to devour God's people. Doesn't matter, I guess. Whoever it was, they were stronger than David. But David, with God on his side, prevailed. 18. They came upon me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my stay. David's enemies and David's trouble came on him in the day of his calamity. They came on him when he wasn't ready, wasn't expected, expecting it. It was like they blindsided him. And David was helpless to deal with the issues that confronted him. If it hadn't been for God, he never would have survived. 19. He brought me forth into a broad place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. God saved David because God cared about David. He delighted in him. And God cares about everyone. And he will save anyone who turns to him. 20. The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hands, he recompensed me. Now, David did some bad things. But when he repented, God forgave, and God gave him a fresh start and blessed his obedience. And he will do the same for us. 21. For I have kept the ways of the Lord and have not wickedly departed from my God. And not that David never sinned. But what he is talking about is not wickedly departing from God, meaning continuing in a lifestyle of disobedience. David did not turn away from God in his heart. And we'll pick up our study in verse 22 next time. Until then, so long, everyone.